share this prophetic message this morning. And I think it'll bless you. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. When the Bible said He'll show you things to come, He meant just that. And I was pretty curious about a lot of things concerning our church and the ministry. But you know, when you fellowship with God and you meditate upon Him, the answers will come. Not necessarily when you want them to, but they come. So He shared some profound things with me this morning that I'm going to share with you. Maybe for some of you it'll be great. Maybe for some of you it won't. I don't know. But you know, some of these things were so profound that I needed a confirmation. And God gave me a confirmation through Tammy and Susan Guinan. Of the message I wanted to share with you this morning. When you get confirmations, two of them, you've got to do it. So when Tammy said what she said, and then Susan topped it off, I said, I guess I better share with them what I got. It'll make all more sense to you when I get into it. Praise God. God has a way of His little, not so much a fleecing, man fleecing God, but God will give confirmation to what He spoke. Amen. So, this morning, we usually have our missionary time. Kenny's not prepared because he just got into town. And so we'll grace him on that. Amen. We want you to be very mindful of our missionaries, those whom we support. Lay aside a little sum every month for them. And if it's a big sum, that's better. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I've had a wonderful Christmas. How about you? Did you guys have a good Christmas? Did you turn your relatives on to Jesus? Did you get some of them saved? Some of you turned your relatives off to Jesus? Sure love the Lord, don't you? Let's go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as I now enter into probably the most important part of our service, and that is dealing or handling the Word of God. And I don't want to handle it unfruitfully. I want to handle it in such a way that You're given honor to it. And Father, I hope that You use my lips, my vocal cords, but not my mind, but Your mind, in delivering this message this morning. We'll be careful to give You all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you will, turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and if you got that mic there by you, John, we're going to do something a little differently this morning. I'm going to be bold enough to ask you a question and let you answer it the best way you know how. And I'm not going to ask you a trick question. Yeah, you can if you want to. I want to ask, does anybody really have in their heart something that you feel that the Lord is going to do for the church this year? Something, you know, you've been feeling in your heart that the Holy Ghost is going to be doing for the church this coming year. Raise your hands. Anybody? Okay? We'll only do this for about 3 or 4 people. That's all right.
I just feel like He's really going to manifest Himself in His power and in His love through us to the world more than ever.
His power and His love more than ever.
And I believe that the way he's going to do that is that he's going to be bringing the church body together in prayer. I believe in my heart and I feel it in my spirit and half for several months that God is really laying a burden of prayer on the hearts of his people. Because prayer is what's going to break the power of the enemy. Prayer is what's going to break the divorce and the drugs and the addiction and the complacency in our church body. Prayer is what's going to instill that love and that compassion in us so that we can reach out to the world, to those that are in darkness. Because salvation is for them. We already have it. And it's our commission to reach out to the world and to bring them to salvation because God is coming and He is coming soon. And we can't do that if we're sitting on our butts here in church. And the only way that we're going to get off our butts is to get into prayer, to get on our face and to get on our knees. And we need to come together as a church body. We need to stop being lazy and complacent about prayer. We need to get it together and we need to see each other and lift each other up and lift our church and our pastor up. And that's what God's going to do.
You use the B word. That's okay, Denise. She said, but. That's all right. I'm agreeing with you.
Hi, my name's Linda, and the Lord has led me here today as the first Sunday morning. And I visited in the Sunday evening, but I'm an intercessor prayer warrior. And he's led me here to intercede on this church and to teach and then to join in on the intercession that's going to take place this year. Jeremiah 1.
One more. Let's give the other side a chance, John. Can you jog or sprint?
I believe one of the things God would like to do is for those that are willing to allow their hearts to be changed to what His heart is, to know God's heart instead of their own plans and their own agendas, that He wants to reveal what His heart is. A lot of times we think that our plans and our ideas are God's heart, and that's really not so, and we need to be open to allow Him to show us what His plan is and what His purpose is. And allow our hearts to be broken with what breaks His heart.
You're all doing so good this morning. So awesome.
Well, I've been praying for the young people in this generation to rise up. And I believe I saw an outpouring of God's Spirit in the young hearts, the hearts of this generation to stand up this year. Because they're the future generation that's going to take over. And I believe the Holy Spirit is moving in the hearts of the adults in this body to start showing the young people an example, the word that they have that pastor been delivering to rise up in their hearts. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is moving their hearts right now. And this year, as we pray, as the Spirit of the Lord keeps saying to me, as my people pray, I will move. Without prayer, we can't move. And without prayer and fasting, we can't do anything. We are really crippled. So I believe that if we, as this body, really, really step up to the plate and really, not truly, hypocritically pray, really, truly turn themselves over, the Holy Spirit will really pour out, not on this body alone, but the surroundings will see it. I believe that.
Very good. Praise God. Just one more, lady. We'll do one more. This is awesome.
Freedom!
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, every one of you spoke what God's going to do. I couldn't add to it or take away, so I'll put my message with what was said. But one of the predominant things is that there's going to be prayer. We're going to move into the love of God. And we're going to see to it that not our will is done, but His is done. Praise God. We're going to see to it that the younger generation has a greater chance than the former one. These are definitely of the Lord. But how do we do that? I'm sure glad you asked. I don't know about you, but this whole last week, I wanted to be different coming into the next year. I didn't want to stay where I was at. And so I've learned that if you don't like where you're at, you have to change in order to be in a different place than where you are. Isn't that true? You can't keep doing the same thing you've been doing, get different results. You got to change what you're doing to get different results. And I hope that we've all made a decision to change in the way that we get greater results, especially with our walk with our Lord. Amen. So I purpose that in my heart. I don't have all the answers how I'm going to do that, but I have gotten some words from the Lord of what I've got to do. And so if you get a first few words, and I've learned that when I'm walking with my Lord, all He has to do is give me a couple of words, just like He does His mind, and the rest begins to fall in place. But it takes a little time. You know, He downloaded the book of James, the mind of that book, on me. Oh, it's been about 2 years ago now, almost two and a half. And I've never taught on it yet because I didn't know how to put all the verses together off of that mind that He downloaded on that book. Now, I've got almost the whole book now. I've got the whole mind of God now. All those verses came together off of that mind that He spoke. It scares you when you see where the world is and where you're at. But you know what's even more frightening? When you see the church more influenced by the world than by the Holy Ghost. But I think we're going to be coming out of that very soon. I really do. So that's why I'm going to share with you what the Lord had shared with me. In John chapter 15, did we already pray over this service? Yes. In John chapter 15, look at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, notice this, even, and I want you to underline this, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of who? Of Jesus. He'll testify of me. Then, if you will, go to John chapter 16 and go to verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin. Notice this, He will rebuke, bring to repentance the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, notice this, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. It's a very interesting statement. And of judgment, notice this, because the prince of this world is judged. Very interesting statement. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, here He says it again, the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, literally on His own initiative. He says He'll not speak on His own initiative, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He that taketh from Mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see Me. And again a little while, and ye shall see Me, because I go to the Father. These are very powerful statements. Now, if you will, let's go on a little further. And let's go on down to a very important part of this passage. Let's go to verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask of him and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while and ye shall not see me? And again a little while and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned unto joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. Glory to God. Now, what is he talking about here? Well, it's very confusing to the natural mind. But he was, first of all, letting us know something. He was letting us know that there's a spirit of truth that's going to come. And we know that by these verses, the spirit of truth is the Holy Ghost. He's the only one capable of bringing truth. And notice what he says, he won't speak on his own initiative. It doesn't mean that he won't be talking about himself, because we know by now that there is revelation of the person of the Holy Spirit, amen? But he was talking about not initiating any answers on his own, but whatever he hears, that he will initiate. There are a lot of brothers and sisters who are hearing from the Holy Ghost that the Holy Ghost is not saying. And it varies, can get very confusing. Pastor, how do I determine whether they're speaking of the Holy Ghost or they're not speaking of the Holy Ghost? It's very simple. Look at the fruit on their tree. Yes, amen. That's how you can tell. What kind of fruit do they bear? You know, that's one way you can tell whether you're listening to the Holy Ghost or not. The fruit that you're bearing on your tree. If you don't like your fruit, then there's a communication gap between you and the Holy Ghost. Don't take that personally until you understand that I took it personally. So therefore, you can take it personally. Did that come in the form of revelation to you? I said, don't take it personally until you understand that I took it personally. So therefore, you can take it personally. We can all look at the fruit on our tree. Amen? Some can't. Some don't want to. Why? It frightens them. Now let's go to John 14. And let's look at something here that's very interesting. This is also about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And he says, he's with you now, but there's going to be a time he's going to be in you. But in verse 12 he says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, if your Bible is not like mine, the word works is not in any translation. Literally, it's this, the greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. The greater that he's talking about here is what we will produce as a result of preaching to men and seeing them come into what we call the new birth. Mm-hmm. Men getting born again. Under the ministry of Jesus, Jesus never saw one man get born again until after his resurrection. Then he saw the fruit of his ministry birthed in the hearts of men, because he was waiting for that day that he could deliver himself out of the loins of the adversary, the prince of this world, deliver him a death bowl to free all of humanity as well as the church. And he waited for that day. And he likened unto a woman desiring to deliver a child. And so he delivered to the world. He reconciled the Father and the world back together through coming out of the grave and bringing spiritual life back again to humanity that Adam gave up. Now, where am I going to go with this? Well, I'm going to give you something that the Lord had shared with me this morning that will even complement what was said here. Lord, what do you have for this next year? Where are we going for this next year? Are there things prophetically that I can go to and give a little bit of propheticness to where we're headed? And he says, yes. And when he began to show it to me, it was so supernatural, I knew it only had to be God. And I want to establish some things right now, real quick, like with you, in understanding something. Notice what he says at verse 27. After he said, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send to mine, he shall teach you all things, the Holy Ghost. In verse 27, I want you to notice the wording here. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hallelujah. But I want you to notice something here. He talks about two different kinds of peace. He talks about a peace that the world can give. And he talks about a peace that only he can give. You know something? We as believers, we've got to know something. And I'm not speaking a bad thing on you. Are you following me? I'm bringing some reality to you. The world has a peace about it. How many of you know that? The world has a peace about it. Well, where is the peace found if the world has a peace? Well, there's hope that you could win the lotto and have $40.5 million in your pocket. Doesn't that give you peace? There's a hope that many of you are believing maybe for some breaks financially. Okay, how many of you know that there's a peace in that? There is places you can go in the things of the world to find peace. Even the Bible clearly defines it. You can even make peace on your own initiative by just doing the principles of the Bible, and you'll have peace from the world. But did you know the world is entering into a place that it has never known before? It is a place where all trust that humanity could possibly have in finding peace in this world. And it's already come upon us in such a way that you hear it screamed out over the airwaves now, that you can't even put your investments in anything that you can trust now, in fear of the fact that it could be jerked out from under you. How many times I've seen, time and again, and not only heard with my own ears, men who've invested money their whole lifetime, become multimillionaires, and lost it overnight. Dear friend of mine, Chuck Varner, got away from the presence of God and got into investments and became a trader and invested his father's inheritance. And he said, I made several million. And he says, all the time I told my wife I was going to invest the money into the kingdom of God. And that was my excuse for doing what I was doing. Because I asked him why he was working the job that he was working, and I began to inquire about what kind of car he was driving, because he always lived in big mansions and drove fancy cars. Sue knows him. They're our friends. And when he told me now he was working at Circuit City as a salesman, and they were happy to have a car that ran, I said, Chuck, what happened? And he says, well, Ellen, his wife, begged him to get into church because he was crazy over this money thing. And the more he made, the crazier he got. And I'm going to tell you something. If you think you can serve money and God at the same time, you're so self-deceived, you might as well get on your knees and repent. For your life needs to change. You can't have no hope in this world. It can offer you a peace, but it's only temporal. I guarantee it. Why? My Bible tells me. And what my Bible tells me, I believe. Thank God I know how to rightly discern it now. And he said, Jan, he said, I thought I was so smart. He says the real smart investor is the one that has fear in the stock market. I got so good I lost my fear. He said, I had all my little ducks out there floating in the ponds. He said, I watch it leave me in 9 hours' time. $4 million. 9 hours. Down the tube. He says, I finally heard my wife say, Chuck, get back into church. He says, I went back to church. Usually people that are in the money, the thing that keeps them in money is the fact they're going to do something for the kingdom of God. But they're your least investors. It's the blue collar workers that carry this church. You cannot love money and carry the church. Because the first thing you'll carry is your own substance. It happens all the time. You look at the fruit on your tree and it'll tell you. People that make money, you'll see them live in fancy houses, nice cars. But you'll also find they'll struggle eventually with debt because this world offers a false peace. The only peace that Jesus will give you and I in the world is the peace that he opts in himself. Then, when he gives you back to the world will be your instrument for his work and not your own. That's just the way it is. I don't care how you color it. That's the way it is. We try to get away from that, but we never will until we come to grips with ourselves. Now, notice what he says here. He says, verse 30, hereafter, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh, and has nothing in me. What in the world is he talking about? For the prince of this world cometh, and have nothing in me. The word cometh is very interesting. It means he'll come in a way to be present in this world. He'll come in a way to be present in this world. I thought it was very interesting. This means to come upon of time and events. It means that there is going to be a prince, ruler, that will come upon this planet as a result of time and events. Without the proper time and without the proper events, this prince ruler had no reason to come. Now I want you to follow me real close, because when I get through here, you'll go to shouting. He says that this prince ruler has nothing in him. And when he comes, he will come on a specific time and a specific event. Well, you know who commissions him? Would it not be Lucifer? Satan himself would order up a prince ruler to do one thing. To come upon this planet Earth as a result of a time period and an event that took place. And what time period and event would that be? His name is the coming and the Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ, for all of humanity. And that prince ruler had no means whatsoever to affect planet Earth in any other form than to deceive the world into thinking that there's another way into eternal inheritance. Until Jesus came, it was made and displayed very publicly that he is the only way. Then the prince ruler had to come in such a fashion that he can tell the whole world that Jesus is not the only way, that everyone has a right to their own belief, and their way is good enough. And he didn't exist until Jesus came in that time period, in that event. And now the prince ruler has only one thing, one goal in mind. You're all right the way you think and the way you believe, for everyone has a right to serve their own God. They do not. We as a church, the thing we desire more than ever is to win a soul. Can I hear an amen? This prince ruler is not designed to stop soul winning. This prince ruler is designed to keep souls from being won. How many of you know what I mean by that? It's one thing for you to get saved. Excuse me, but it's another thing for your soul to be set free. If he can't take you out, he wants your witness at any cost. He wants to confuse your witness with the spirits of the world that have been designed by the prince ruler. And what better way can he do this than to get the glory of men as the primary target for where all truth comes from? I thank God for Dave delivering me the understanding of the new birth. It changed my life 8 years ago. And it just keeps expanding more and more in Scripture. But this morning, excuse me, bear with me. This morning, I said, I want to know where we're at, God. I want to know how close. He says, well, you're entering into where men are going to say that his coming is delayed. He says, what kind of doctrine would that be in? First of all, evidently Paul had a mystery, a revelation, about the whole church would not all sleep, but there'd be a catching away. I'm convinced now more than ever there is going to be a catching away. I don't understand how it's going to happen, but I do believe it will come. And if you don't think that, if you're kingdom now, you ain't going to like this message. If you think that the church that's turned on to God wants an escape route, you're wrong. If I had my way about it, I'd like to stay here enduring tribulation just to lead as many as I can into the face of the Father. I'm not looking at it as an escape plan, because it's not. Just bear with me. In Ephesians 2:2, it said very clearly, you don't have to turn to if you don't want to, but go ahead. In Ephesians 2:2, it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, actually, according to the age of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the prince that he's talking about. He is the commander of a lower spiritual power that indoctrinates men into wrong believing. Did you know that, look at the Muhammad nation today. The Islamic, they number more than believers. Well, where do you think that came from? And yet we as Christians, we rise up and we say, don't knock their beliefs. We need to respect their beliefs as they respect ours. How many of you heard that? Oh yeah, a lot of you. If they receive us as Christians, we ought to receive them as a Jew. Wrong. We as born-again believers, the only thing that will require anyone to get into the presence of God is a new birth. And that only comes by having the Spirit of Christ in us. He that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. You must be born again. Now here's another thing that the church has entered into. They don't know what time period they're living in. We're making excuses for the greatest hour that you could live in, because you have the Holy Ghost. And if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you've got the mind of Christ. And if you've got the mind of Christ, then you fellowshipping with him will unleash that mind in your heart. Now, why did I even bring that up? Listen, this prince ruler comes, and he comes in a way that he'll convince men that their way is the right way, and their way is not the right way. Cindy said men will be seeking their way instead of God's. You know, Kenneth Hagin, I love that man. You can say what you want to say about him, but he is one individual that lived alone for many years. The message that he gave the church, and by gosh, the church got a hold of it. And another part of the church hates him for it. And he brought to the church faith and hope. Faith and hope. Now, where we have to carry on is we have to bring the church into charity. Maturity in love. So we'll build off of that man's wonderful foundation. That's why I love and respect him so much. He is a prime example of charity himself. How many of you understand that? But that was not his message. But it's a message I'm picking up on now. And it's a message of other people that are coming into revelation and insight. They're starting to pick it up. But I'm going to get news for you. The housetops that are out there now, they do not have the power to bring you into charity. But they have the power to put faith and hope in you, but not maturity. Why? I listen close to all their messages. And what makes me think that I know so much? I don't know nothing of myself. But anything I know, if I know the Holy Ghost gave it to me, then I know it's of God and not of myself. And there's where my peace is. How many got what I'm saying? Well, I'm going to share some revelation, if you want me to. Take a few more minutes. In 1 John chapter 4, turn there real quick, like. I'm going to be real long-winded because I know that your mind can only comprehend what your seat can endure. Hey, I'm not knocking you. That's the same way with me. If I get antsy and frigidy and, you know, fidgety. Well, some people get frigidy. But in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 is very powerful. And he talks about not having faith in just every spirit. And what he was talking about is, it's one thing to hear people preach the kingdom of God, but it's another thing to know what spirit they're of. And he goes on to tell you that there are many false teachers that have gone out in the world, and they've done something. What have they done? They've introduced a false teacher. Well, how do I know that? Because of some verses he goes on to say. He said these men are going about and they're teaching the church. But they're not teaching the church by the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of truth. He says, but they're teaching by some other spirit or another glory of another man. That's why they're called false teachers. He says something very interesting. He says, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, he certainly wasn't talking about the new birth there, because the subject is deception. How many are brought to deception? What he was saying here, that the person that's greater than you than he that is in the world, the spirit of the world, is the Holy Ghost. That's what he's referring to, because he is the Spirit of truth that was to come. How many of you are following me? Now, he goes on to say, they are of the world. Therefore, notice where their language is incorporated from. Speak they of the world. And notice this, and worldly people hear them. We are of God, and he that knows God heareth us. And that is not of God that heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And that spirit of truth is what? Say it loud. Say it louder. Say it louder. Holy Ghost. And that's why he says, greater is he that is in you than the spirit that is in the world. Because the spirit God has given to you is called the spirit of truth. And that's the one that's going to birth faith and revelation in your heart. And glory to God. When you have got faith birthed in your heart by the Holy Ghost, then I got news for you. This is the victory that overcometh the world. It's a spiritual thing. And when I saw faith and hope can operate on one level, but maturity operates on a whole different level. And if you want to tap into the greater source of power, go on into maturity And you'll find power because God wants the church to go into power. And God said the key to going into the fullness of the power of God is charity, love, bursting in our heart. For not only us, but for humanity. And that's why he says, notice this, he that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. And what verse was he referring to there? In verse 19 of chapter 2 of 1 John, he says that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest they were not of us. And what was he saying? He's saying these people left us. He wasn't saying they weren't born again. They were born again. But they got to listening to false teachers and other speakers that overrode the doctrine of the apostles that the apostles laid by the mind of Christ through the Holy Ghost in the church. And he said these other people came in and began to teach them and instruct. And so what they did is they rose up to bring confusion to the whole church and said, we're not going to listen to these apostles. They think they got the whole foundation. Forget it. We got greater revelation, greater insight. And so what they did is they turned around and said, let's depart from this gathering, this body. Why? To show confusion to the rest of the church. That's how church splits get in the way. They always have leaders. And when the leader leaves, what's wrong with the church? They never say, what's wrong with the leader? What's wrong with the church? See, they always point their finger at the church. That's the way the devil works. He wants to discredit where truth really is. Why? Because truth sets men free. And where do we get truth? The Holy Ghost. Well, I thought you got it by His Word. Wrong. You get it as the Holy Ghost. Well, I thought you got it at CFC. Wrong. You get it by the Holy Ghost. Well, I thought you get it at CCC. Wrong. It's by the Holy Ghost. Well, I thought you get it all nation. No. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. The only thing that qualifies me to even give you a word in my heart is the fact that the Holy Ghost enlarged the capacity of my understanding in my spirit to deliver you a word that will enhance your capacity for the kingdom of God as well. Period. Over and out. When you're going through the glory of men, looking from one glory to the next, you're in the wrong glory. For it says the glory that you're to be transformed into is a glory that's found in your own heart. And somehow, God's got to get your eyes off of men and get them back into what God has put in your heart so that you can look not as a veil being in front of you, but look directly into your heart and see what God has done in your own heart concerning the glory of His Son. And in that glory, you will be transformed. And not the glory of men. Are you following what I'm saying? And how is this message going to get out? Are we really in a critical time period? Oh, absolutely. Is His return close? Absolutely. Very close. How do you know, Pastor Jan? Thank you for asking me. You kind little person, you. If you hadn't asked that, I don't think I could have gone on. Listen to me carefully, and I will be closing. How many of you know they are sick in their understanding of the heart of God? The message that we are to preach and we are to deliver to you is a message of reconciliation. That God has purchased back humanity through the Son by redemption. The new birth. Well, if that's the case, then when do you get into judging sin? When you know better. That's when the church can come in and bring a judgment on the church when you know better. If you're out there running around with darkness, shame on you. Now we have a right to bring judgment to our own house. Are you following me? But not the world's. God's already brought judgment to the world. How? He reconciled it through His Son. Well, then what's going to happen? Well, God's going to wait until there's a balance swaying in the wrong direction. There's more going out of God than coming in. And that's when I believe His time will come. You think God wants to see more and more people lost when the message is preached? When I believe that when He sees the scales tipping in the opposite direction, He's going to bring an end to everything. He's not going to let this world go to nothing again. That's the heart of the Father. So His message is a message of reconciliation, not judgment. If that's the case, I want you to turn over to Isaiah 61. And just have patience with me. I'm getting into the prophetic part. Isaiah 61. I also have a greater understanding of the Old Testament in the prophetic realm because God showed me something. I don't get my identity out of the Old Testament, but there are some things prophetically that I can't. In Isaiah 61, I'll just go to verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Retribution. He goes right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, right to final judgment in Isaiah 61. Do I have anybody opposing that revelation? Absolutely not. But let's turn to Luke chapter 4, and let's look where Jesus used this same statement. And the day of vengeance of our God. Luke 4. This is where Jesus stood up in the temple and had to the audacity to say the same thing that the Jew knew about the Messiah that was to come, and pointed his finger right at himself. Don't you know that made them hot? That was like going into church. Let's say a denominational church that doesn't believe in speaking in tongues, stand up and declare a message in tongues. Have the same effect. Notice what he says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the broken heart, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. And he closed the book. What did he leave out? The day of vengeance of our God. And he closed the book. Why? Because the church has been given the message of reconciliation. We're to go and preach that God is not ticked off at the world any longer. The world, you have a choice. You have a right now for your freedom. You have a right to be free. But you have to deny the God of this world and no longer look at the prince of this world or the things that he has to offer, but turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the only way to salvation. And don't you agree with them other ways? Because then you'll be adding a step to their ladder. And you're not to do that. You're not even to give them Godspeed or put a blessing on them when they're promoting a curse. It seems unloving, doesn't it? But listen, what's really unloving is allow someone who has a stronghold in their thinking to go all the way to hell. That is the most unloving thing you could do to their life. Give them something that God can prick in their heart. Plant a seed that will help them. I'll tell you, I've seen more men repent and come to the Lord through this understanding than judgment. It is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It's not the severity. And Jesus left it out. You need to leave it out. You don't go and threaten the world with judgment. You go and threaten the world with goodness. Then when God has to stand and bring judgment on them, it's not because they didn't have a choice. They were told. Are you following me? You know, the world has this, the church has this idea the world's going to be judged because of their sins. That's not what it says at the great white throne. He says at the great white throne they're going to be judged because of their works. Why? Their sin was covered by Jesus. It was obvious they rejected him, so therefore their works were evil. It wasn't their sin that brought them to hell. It was a refusal of him that brought them to judgment. Somebody said, well, should you ever preach judgment to them? You can let them know that everything will come to judgment. But right now, they're not under judgment. But there's going to be come a time when men will be put under judgment. And God's going to give 7 more years of repentance for humanity during great tribulation, final purging. Whoever will come in through the severity of what they're going to see in the sense realm, now that's different. Men don't come to repentance now because they don't see the unseen world like we do that are spiritual. But there's going to come a judgment on earth that things will be seen through the senses they're not going to be able to handle. And that will draw judgment in the heart of humanity. Are you following me? That's not the kind of people God wants in heaven. He wants people that want to be there. Not those that knew they were going to get cindered, so they ran to heaven. Now, I wanted to get that clearly established because did you know that the attacking of those two towers in New York is very much a prophetic time period for us? I laughed, I mocked, until I started watching TV. And sure enough, all the men that stood on the housetops, I heard coming out of their mouth constantly, is that was God's judgment on America for its spirit of iniquity. Now, how many of you heard those messages? Come on, I'm not the only one that's been hearing them. I mean, men I trusted stood up and said, that was the judgments of God on this earth. Then you cannot believe what I just shared with you, if that's the case. Yeah, but Pastor over there in the Old Testament, it prophesied of God having something to do with the destruction of those towers. You know something, people? You got to understand the Old Testament's causative in a sense. And listen, if you really read the prophetic realm, especially in light of New Testament deliverance for humanity, then how could God bring judgment when His Scripture says that we're in a time period that He's not going to bring men to Him by judgment, but by reconciliation? Now, where's the confusion coming from? It's all in how the voice, where the voice is coming from out of the Old Testament. And what God was prophetically saying in the Old Testament is that I am going to be accused as the one that brought the judgment. They're going to say, I did this. They're going to say, I did that. That's the voice you're going to hear. And sure enough, it came out of our own TV set. Out of a nation that is supposed to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ with their whole heart. Now, if you will, let's go to Isaiah 30. Are you guys getting something? I know it's a little long, but it's a prophetic thing. Isaiah 30. Unless you want me to continue next week. Isaiah chapter 30, let's go to the one everybody runs to, about the two towers. You know, we read about things like this and we always stop at just the verse that we get something out of. But we never really read too much before and too much after. But notice, in Isaiah 30, verse 25, and there shall be upon every high mountain, and upon every high hill, rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the lights of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of His people and healeth the stroke of their wounds. What a prophetic verse. I wish I had time to go and give you the revelation that God gave me of that. But you know what was said? We read that verse, but we don't read the incident that was before you even get to that. Did you know that in Ezekiel prophesies of Lucifer by using a natural king as an example? Did you know in Isaiah 14, same thing. He always uses natural things for prophetic insight. And did you know what he's doing here? He's using natural events for that which will bring prophetic insight. And the towers that he's referring to here, I got news for you. I went to another place, and I do believe that it was referring to the symbol of those two towers in our time period. With that kind of boldness, simply because of what took place before he gets to this verse. Did you know that the nation of Israel was a whoring with other things, and God had to bring them to repentance because they wanted to always go back into Egypt? Now, they didn't want to go and live in Egypt, but they wanted to go back to the ways of the Egyptian. They wanted to go back to serving their gods. They wanted to go back to living their life the way they want to. Then he goes right in to Mount Zion, which is a type of the New Testament church, and he begins to tell us very prophetically at verse 19 on. For the people shall dwell in Zion, in Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. And when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into the corner any more, but mine eyes shall see thy teacher. And he's referring to the New Testament church and the glory that will come back to it through the Holy Spirit that will be our teacher and our eyesight that we'll see again. And he will remove the wounds of the church. For the church will abandon that former lifestyle that brought them wounds. And he'll cause them to rise up again. And he'll cause the church, Mount Zion, to dwell in victory again. And to have eyesight. And to have a leading of the Spirit. And know where they're going instead of what they've happened to them. I just read another book that was given to me by a dear friend of mine. And when I read it, I just shook my head so that I could go through some of the chapters and realize this poor person still doesn't have the victory that they need. I got it. Why don't I have more victory? You always use yourself as an example for great truths. Have you ever found that in your life? Well, if I am what God says I am, then why am I where I'm at? How many of you have ever said that? Well, I've learned that even regardless of where you're at, you're to accept where God is taking you. Are you following me? He says, just because you're not producing what I show you, does that mean you can't eventually walk in it? Are you guys getting something? Now hang on, this is really good. He goes on, and he says in verse 25, that there shall be upon every high mountain, upon every high hill, rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter. When the towers fall. Why would he even bring that issue up? Because you'll find throughout Scripture constantly, he brings you by rivers of living water. He's saying even though the world incurs its conditions, whatever happens to the world, the waters, the living waters, the streams of water will always be there for the church. It'll always be there. It will always be there. When I heard the news that morning when I woke up and Sue was telling me, I knew. There was the fear that gripped me, but in my heart I knew. I'm still connected to my Lord Jesus Christ. My outcome is going to be good. Now, if you will, turn over to Zephaniah. Zephaniah, and I am going to close on this one. Zephaniah. Somebody says, well, where's that? Zephaniah. It's pretty close to the end of the book of the Old Testament. In Zephaniah, this is very interesting, in chapter 3. And let's start with verse 1. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not the correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are even wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning does he bring his judgments to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none pass by. Their cities are destroyed so that there is no man, that there is none inhabited. I say, surely thou wilt fear me. Thou shalt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Whosoever I punished them. However, I punished them. But they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day when I rise up to pray. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent or shoulder. And what He's talking about is our time period of what we're faced with. We're having the world cry out that He is the judger. He's the one that brought this corruption. He's the one. He says, I'm the one that determined this judgment. He says, no, that will not stand in the days that the towers came down. And that's definitely talking about the World Trade Center, because it says all nations. Are you following what I'm saying? But he says, my church is going to be set free. Why? Because they're going to remove that reproach to all nations. Because I am giving them a pure language to know the determination of my heart. So that will be removed. Yes. Glory to God. Did you get something here today?
Amen.
Where are we headed? We're headed to destroy the works of the prince of the power of the air that is trying to indoctrinate the church. We're going to take our tongue and we're going into the presence of God and we're going back to the spirit of truth. And we're going to begin to pray in tongues and we're going to begin to lift up the mind of God. And God's going to begin to release His mind to the church. And the church is going to walk in victory never before. And you'll never ever again hear the church ever cry out that God brought this judgment. No. Mankind served their own judgment. Their own judgment came upon them. God didn't have to bring it, because that's totally contrary to the message of reconciliation. Did you get something here this morning? Glory to God. I believe they were symbolic of our time period. Just like describing Lucifer and others, there's a time period of prophetic utterance that serves our time period. And I do believe that we're in a mighty, mighty, greatest opportunity where the waters and rivers, when those towers went down, people, the church is starting to enter into the understanding of praying in tongues. I thank Dave Roberson for that 8 hours a day praying in tongues, because he is a prophetic individual to a degree. He brought us a message that the early church did not bring us with the faith and hope. And that is the fact that praying in tongues draws the mind of God out, for it is a pure language, and the church will go back to it. I questioned some of the regional directors we were with. What actually did Kenneth Hagin say when he said, I can't say that, I don't know. And a couple of them told me, when he looked at the insight he was gaining from Jesus, it was insight that he was not familiar with. He didn't know how to convey it in words. So the only thing he can say is with stammering lips in another tongue. He quoted 1 Corinthians 14. But he that speaketh mysteries unto God through the tongue. It's on the prophetic utterance. And he didn't know how to bring it out. Well, we got the understanding of that now. We've got it. We know that the anointing comes from the fact that we can pick the same mind up that was given to the apostles in Jude verse 3. He says, but you contend for the faith. That's a general term for the faith. He was saying, not the miraculous, but contend for the mind that was once delivered to them apostles. You search scripture. You get out of it something that is complete. He says that's the apex in the Greek there. It's complete knowledge. It's all that you need. If you get into the Holy Ghost, and the mind of Christ will begin to work in your spirit and reveal the kingdom of God to you. Then you won't following these men that are saying God judgment came upon the earth because their own pollutedness brings that kind of mind. Are you following me? Because of their own pollutedness, they brought judgment to the world by God. Because their own life is not correct with Him. Their own life is not being purged. And so their own conviction of their own heart, they do and they interpret God as the one bringing judgment on humanity. Well, if that's the case, we ought to be more mad at God for what He did to those two towers than the ones that flew the plane into them. That doesn't make any sense to me. And as long as I have breath, my God will never be accused of bringing a judgment when He says, you have obtained the message of reconciliation. I got news for you. If God was never even uttered again, this world would go into calamity anyway. Don't take a half a brain to figure that out. If you think you got a problem with flesh, well, take a look maybe at your fellowship with the Lord. If you've got all kinds of problems with your flesh, it's a fellowship that you have with the Lord. If you don't have the right fellowship, you're going to have flesh problems. Did you get something here today? Everybody stand up. Sorry I was so long-winded, but I felt that I had a prophetic word for you this morning. And that's not a coincidence why these words were laid out here. That's not a coincidence, people. Unless I'm self-deceived. Well, I'll tell you what. I guess I qualify for something. I ran around with the Holy Ghost several hours this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know something? I believe that this message was so prophetic. I don't feel led to just give an altar call and cheapen it. I feel that all of us in our seats, right where we're at, we're the ones that need to reevaluate where we're at as a church. Did you have something you wanted to share, Jerry? Hallelujah.
Yeah, I should have come up a little earlier, but I left the choir room and I had to run back to the bathroom. Leastway, I thought I should have come up earlier, but after I've heard your message, I know that this is the right time. About a week and a half ago, a Wednesday night or a Sunday night service, you issued a warning out to somebody if they weren't praying. They need to be praying for the time and the events coming forward. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Okay, and it kind of hit me in my heart because I took it personally because, you know, I know we all pray, but sometimes you got to evaluate over and over again. Are you praying enough? Are you praying in the right areas? You know, it's not just,
well, amen,
just praying, you know, because the Word tells us to pray without ceasing. You know, we're constantly, we see things to pray about, we pray, and you have your moments of time in prayer, but it just hit my heart. It had something to do with the Holy Spirit. You know, we got to pray in the Holy Spirit because there's so many things that are coming on the horizon that we can't even fathom what's going on spiritually, politically, economically, social, political moves. It was like the pastor said, you know, you can rise up in the earth to have all this wealth and it leave you in a moment of time, you know, and people normally like that can't handle that devastation that quick.
Yes.
Because if they're not prayed up, it'll take down the best. You know? I mean, you can be in a position where you think things are perfect and going well. Well, that's the time when the enemy's going to come in like a flood. When you least expect it. When your feet are not on that rock. And he can just take you like sand and take you downstream. Well, it was... The thing that I perceive for the things coming up for the church this next year is that we've got to get into prayer.
Oh, amen.
Like we've never been before. And I know we hear that consistently all the time.
Serious now.
But you know what? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And we hear the message and the Word of God. Here, I mean, we are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed that we hear the Word of God, pure and simple, not complicated, not tainted. And you know, if I don't hear my wife's voice every day, if my wife begins to stop talking to me, this is how simple this is. If my wife doesn't speak to me today and then tomorrow, and this goes on for weeks and months, you know, pretty soon I won't recognize her voice. You can't hear the voice of God. You wonder why you can't hear and understand by the power of the Holy Ghost when a message or a word or something, why you can't hear God speak to you. If there's no communication, you can't recognize His voice. It's so simple. But we've got to hear His voice. The only way you're going to hear His voice is if you apply yourself and there's a response. It's basic communications. Even the children know that. But as adults, we... Praise God. You know, we're living off the coattails of parents, grandparents, their prayers. You can't do that. I mean, we can't do that as a body. We've got to... Pray. Pray without ceasing. Because tomorrow, there's no promise of tomorrow. We have to pray without ceasing. And many of us are under grace because we're living off the prayers of parents. And some of us as children are, and I say children, I don't mean the youth. I'm talking people 50 and under. You know? Some of us are living off of the prayers of grandparents and parents. And it's time to get involved, to have an active communication with God, Father God, on a daily basis. So we recognize His voice. So we don't have to come up. You know, I consider it'd be a shame 20 years to be 20, 30 years and have to, you know, be in the Lord and have to come up and ask the pastor, how do you hear the Holy Ghost? How do you hear from God? We should be ashamed of ourselves if we're in that position. Because we're not talking to Him. If we're not talking to Him, He's not going to give a response. We don't want to move from grace to mercy. And I think, you know, sad to say, some of us may be in mercy because we're living off the prayers of parents and grandparents. And we're not taking an active part. Pastor talked about reconciliation. Reconciliation is a covering, but it takes an active part on the believer who's being reconciled to be a part of that reconciliation. He speaks, you respond, you speak, he responds. It's an active participation. If we're not actively participating, we'll move from grace to mercy to falling away.
He speaks not on his own initiative.
You know, pastor talks about falling away. That's how it's going to happen. We're just not talking to God.
Praise God. I don't want to give an altar call because I think all of us are challenged. We need to get this in our thinking. We emphatically need to seek God to communicate to lost souls. And we emphatically need to seek God to bring them to maturity. Boy, let that be our heart cry this year. The winning of a soul and the maturing of that person. And if your own example falls short of that witness God needs, it don't take much for Him to make the adjustment that you need to be that witness. I was so sad looking at the History Channel. And they started giving names of all these men that were pardoned, that ripped society off from millions and millions of dollars by one man that pardoned them. And it spoke to me, that is the spirit of this world. The devil knows how to take care of his own. And these men were released back into society simply on the basis of a pardon. And the church took these men as examples to teach prosperity back to the church. And that makes me sick. I'll never, ever use the world as an example of wealth. I'll use Jesus Christ as the example of my inheritance. Not these men that have gone and finally their companies have come to ruin, ripped thousands off, and then some president come in and pardon them. And that's when the Lord told me that's why that man had the spirit of the world. He knew how to pick specific men and pardon them. They ripped the world off of billions and billions of dollars. Why? These men did Satan a favor. They locked up many dollars from the kingdom of God through these men. And so Satan had a reward for them. He released them so they could go out and do the same thing again. We as a church, we need to wake up. Hallelujah. I don't want to be churched anymore. I don't want to be churched anymore. Let me pray and you pray with me this morning before I release you. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for these wonderful people that You've given Sue and I to shepherd and to mentor. And Father, my commitment to You this coming year is very personal to me for this church, and I know it's personal to my wife. And this year, whoever wants to join me Tuesday night this year, to usher you. And Father, I receive him with honor. Because, Father, something's going to be different by his word. Not that this church symbolizes anything, but the substance that's in this church symbolizes a lot. And I'm going to have faith, more faith in what you've given me for your people. This year is going to be different for your people. They're going to go and walk in that which is true substance, not which offers faith and hope that has no substance to it. Father, you said now abideth forever faith, hope, and charity. But you said the greatest of these is charity. And I see the church this year going in to being challenged to move into the understanding and maturing of charity, agape. Father, help us as a church to receive the insight out of your scriptures in order to accomplish that. And we'll be faithful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Dear Heavenly Father, strengthen those right now that are in this service to feel the challenge of a greater walk in you, but feel so hopeless because they have so many things that have tied them down. Well, Father, I feel the same way. I have so many things that I feel tied down with, but I'm not going to let that stop me from serving you with my whole heart. Father, I pray that that is a prayer of everyone in here. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.